Thank you very much. Welcome back to the roundtable in our live broadcast from the Joy Conference at the Hannah Arendt Center. I find no greater joy than in having a group of young people in front of me who are Bard students, and it is an absolute delight to welcome them to the program. I promised you that eventually we would actually meet young people. So this is really quite exciting. I'm going to introduce them, and then we'll go one by one and talk to the group. Brandon Alchi is here. Alchi is here. Hannah Arendt Center Leadership Fellow at Bard. Hi, Brandon. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Okay. Very, very nice to see you. And tell me about the soccer part.
Well, yes, as you saw, I'm on the soccer team. I've been a member for the last 3 years, and you know we're having our best season historically. So be sure to check us out.
What does that mean, I'm having the best season historically?
Well, historically, we haven't been the best.
The history says we suck. We don't anymore.
Yeah, that's how it's been for the last few years since we've got here. We got a huge class, and you know a lot of guys in my class, we've been balling, and we got a game tomorrow against Skidmore, so if you're free tomorrow, check out Skidmore. But we're doing great, and we have a few more games, and we're hoping to make playoffs.
Oh, good for you. Are you traveling to Skidmore?
Yes, we are. We are. Tomorrow.
Okay, great. Oh, well, you know, we're not too far from there, so let us know. We'd love to come and see you play. That'd be great. We'd root for you. Yeah, that's great. I love Skidmore. Skidmore is wonderful, but that's wonderful. Tell me about being a leadership fellow. What does that mean?
So I've been a leadership fellow for around a year and a half now. I started last summer, and it's been amazing. You know, the amount of opportunities we have out here and networking abilities and also working with people on campus. There's a lot of programs that need more help than they actually get and receive. And that's where our program comes in. There's a few other fellows, Keta, Maya, Julian, and many others. So, you know, we're trying to help out campus any way possible. We've done campus-wide cleanups. We've done zine with online programs with students across the world in Kyrgyzstan, Afghanistan, Iraq. You know, a lot of students that have been suppressed and, you know, helping express themselves and give them opportunities outside of that.
You're a senior?
Junior.
And then what's the plan after that?
Well, I'm going to Cairo next semester for abroad, so that's the first step, and then hopefully we'll see law school maybe, and we'll go from there.
That's exciting. Yeah. Cairo, will you play soccer in Cairo?
I mean, hopefully. I have to. You know.
Yeah,
get ready for senior season, but... I'm looking. My whole family speaks Arabic, so I'm looking to learn. I'm taking the class this semester, and hopefully, when I go to Cairo, I can, you know, finally speak with my Nana, who only speaks Arabic. So.
That was just the conversation we were having about speaking these languages at home. That's really interesting. Congratulations to you, and then law school, and we'll see how that goes. Good for you. Kason Waring is here. He is a student of Roger Berkowitz, who is the founder of this center and who was with us earlier, a volunteer at the Joy Conference, winner of Student Journalism Contest at last year's Tribalism and Cosmopolitanism Conference. That seems harder than Joy. But, you know, what a delight. Thank you very much for being with us. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for having me.
It's a delight to have you. So give us a sense of how you got to be in Roger's program and what that has been like for you.
Well, I took my first class with Roger Berkowitz upon returning to Bard after like 2 years of leave. I started here in 2019 and then took a couple years off. And so I think the first class that I took with him was Foundations of Law, which like sparked my interest in the law, and like honestly in every class I've taken with him since, like Dignity in the Human Rights Tradition, and Constitutional Law, and now I'm taking Truth in Politics.
I'd forget that too.
but yeah, mostly is like in each class I've like just found all of the readings and like as part of the syllabus, like just interesting, and like they've just furthered my interest in politics and honestly helped my understanding of like the world we live in. Like, yeah.
I mean, the whole thing that we've been talking about all morning is this joy in dark times, and the dark times indicates the politics that we've been living through. Do you feel that? I mean, do you see that very real and close up?
I do. I like going back to what Mariel was talking about, like the bombardment of just bad news. You know, it seems like we can't like really get out from under it. But I haven't been able to engage so much with this year's conference, just because like volunteering and also like I just haven't felt the best over the past few days. But definitely looking to catch up. But like the things I've read for Roger's class, like have honestly helped me to like not necessarily they because they haven't always been like the most joyful like subjects, but like they've definitely helped me like develop an understanding of like just how the world works and you know what like our different traditions are and like.
Do you think we screwed it up for you? Meaning older people screwed it up for young people? I do.
I wouldn't say screwed it up, but I definitely say that I feel a responsibility to fix things the way they are.
Bless you. Bless you. Bless you, Kaysan. Bless you. Monica Byrne, a recent alumna, now an MBA student at Bard Hannah Arendt Center Administration Fellow and co-leader of It's Complicated speaking series. Do I have that right?
Yes.
All right. And what is the speaking series?
It's called It's Complicated because it's about the Israel-Palestine conflict and history around it. And one of the things that we saw right after October 7th across campuses in the country was this binary. You were either stand with Israel or pro-Palestine, and not a lot of complexity, not a lot of nuance in between. And neither people are a monolith. There's a huge array of backgrounds, histories, points of view. And so we decided to highlight some of those voices. We've been bringing Palestinians and Israelis who are working together to campus to speak, showing films, having conversations about that kind of thing. And mostly just trying to get people to think about this in a more complicated way that recognizes everyone's humanity.
It's fascinating. Yes, absolutely. It's fascinating that you say to talk about it in a more complicated way, because people find it to be complicated anyway. So to talk about it in a more complicated way is really the way we should be going about it, isn't it?
Yeah, I think on one hand, people say, oh, it's complicated, and then they don't delve into it. And on the other hand, people say, oh, it's not. I stand here. This is right. This is wrong. And as if either people is a monolith, as if either government or either body of leadership speaks for its own people. And it's kind of interesting, especially on campus today, in this era under Trump, what we're experiencing, that people are not thinking about Israelis or Palestinians as equally complicated, with equally challenging experiences in their leadership across the board. And so recognizing that and beginning to see how diverse it is allows us to hear one another and speak to one another in a more humane way, I think.
What is it like being an MBA student, and what hopefully do you wish to accomplish in that direction?
So I was challenged, was not able to go to school when I was younger, and then I was exceptionally fortunate to win a Bard Baccalaureate scholarship, and I just graduated undergraduate last May, the year I turned 60. And now, so not all students at Bard are young. And now I am in the Bard MBA for Sustainability program, and it's a very different MBA. It does involve math, I'm not gonna lie about that, but it is about people who wanna make a difference in the world, look at different ways of how we interact with economics, with our models, how we create not just sustainability in an environmental sense, but also in a social sense, an economic justice sense, looking at different ways to bring parity and different approaches to how we can build our societies. So it's a pretty amazing program, and I feel pretty privileged to be in it.
When I was in college, I always loved having students who were older in the class because they were smarter. They took things much more seriously, and I felt like I sort of had to emulate them in a way because they were doing everything right.
Yeah, absolutely. We do everything right. No. Honestly, it has been such an extraordinary opportunity for me. My first year, it was probably a little weird. It was COVID, and I was suddenly in a cohort of 19-year-olds. But it's actually been such an incredible gift to be able to be in school with young people, to hear and understand where they're coming from, to re-engage with their thoughtful processes. It's been an incredible opportunity to be studying with young people.
That's wonderful. Well, congratulations. That's just amazing. We also welcome Malia Slaby to the program, Hannah Arendt Center Courage to Be Fellow, and you're on the women's soccer team.
Yes, I am on the women's soccer team.
How are they doing?
We're doing good. We do have a game as well on Saturday. We have 4 games left in our season.
Are you at Skidmore too?
No, so we're home. So okay. When they go away, we stay home and vice versa. It's actually our Morgan's Message game, so it's a themed game. Morgan's Message is an organization that's dedicated to eliminating the stigma surrounding mental health within student athletes especially. So if you guys can come out and support, it's at 1 and it's at Ferrari Field.
That's terrific. Obviously, something that I assume many students identify with of those issues involved.
Yes, actually, so as a Courage to Be Fellow, I'll just explain it right now. So as a Courage to Be Fellow, we have these...
Now it's fine.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's connected. So we have these speaker series. There's 3 of us. It's me, my fellow Tamana, and Ella this year. And each of us are in charge of having a speaker come speak to 5 classes, Courage to Be classes. And they all come to the topic of courage. Paul Tillich's Courage to Be is like the common text that all classes have. And last year, my event was Morgan's Message. So I had the director, Claire Kehoe. She came and spoke about how she had the courage to speak up against mental health because her best friend, Morgan Rogers, unfortunately took her life in 2019 after battling with mental health struggles after an injury. So she came and spoke. It was very moving. Like as an athlete myself who deals with injuries all the time, it's very easy to fall into a dark place. But even past being an athlete, just being a young person in general, there's so many things out there that do affect our mental health, whether it's social standards, whether it's the internet, whether it's even older generations who don't really take mental health as a topic serious. So she came and she gave a talk, and it was very moving and very great. And so I've been working with a lot of teams on campus and having these dedication games just to bring awareness. Last Wednesday, men's soccer had their game. Volleyball had a game. So just trying to get that message out there is very important to me.
Excellent. Great work. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk to Alex and Charles and talk to the whole gang here a little bit more about their work and hopes for the future. We'll continue our live broadcast from the campus of Bard College after this short break. I want to meet both Charles and Alex. Let me go to Charles Gehring first, a student of Roger Berkowitz, who we mentioned is the founder of this center as well as a panelist on our program. Have you heard him on the radio station?
I have, unfortunately, not. But yes, I've been a student of Roger Berkowitz for 2 years now. I took my first class with him my freshman year. And I really think he's just a spectacular professor. His classroom environment is so active, and he forces you to kind of defend your views, and he really doesn't let you get away with anything, which I really like. I think it's not for the faint of heart, but I really like. So I'm taking another class this year, and I mean, he's the reason we're all here. He's my advisor. He's a great professor. Yeah.
Give us an idea of what it's like being a volunteer at the conference.
It's hectic, it's fun, it's rewarding. I've only had one shift so far, but it was the Thursday registration shift, which is a lot. But it feels like you're being a part of something and doing something important.
What's after this? You're junior?
Sophomore.
Sophomore. Excellent. So what's next? After Bard?
It's a good question. This summer, I interned for a New York State Assemblyman's office, which was a fantastic experience. I mean, I've always really been into politics. It's what I was really into in high school and what I'm majoring here, along with philosophy.
Were they honest?
You know, not so much.
All right. Well, let's talk names. All right. But it was an eye-opening experience, I would think.
No, I really am kidding. I thought it'd be funny. An eye-opening experience. But I think I do want to go into politics. I think I want to work for politicians. I mean, the people that work in those offices, I think they're so inspiring, and they ask so little, and they do so much.
Okay. Now, hold on, I gotta move the stool over. I gotta talk to Charles a little bit more about wanting to be a politician. What is it? I mean, you know this. Here, you and I have something in common. I'm in the media, and generally, if people are polled, they dislike the media. You want to be in politics if people polled say they dislike politicians. What do you think we can do to make that situation better?
That's a really good question. When you were asking Kason about the conference in Joy, I was reminded of a lecture Professor Berkowitz gave on civic optimism. And he quoted a man named Eric Liu when he said something I thought so profound. He says that cynicism is a childish response to fear. And I think that's so interesting. And the reason it's childish, because when you're a cynic, you bring upon the condition that you presume, you know, by dooming the world. And I think that's so damaging. Because when you're a cynic, you want to be right. And you say that you want your surrender of cynicism to be justified. And when you're not a cynic, when you're joyful, when you're optimistic, when you try to build the future you want to be a part of, you accept the stake in the future you do want to be a part of, and you're not surrendering. And I think that's what we all can do. We can be optimistic, and we can, you know, hate less and be more joyful.
But that's beautiful. But you understand why it's difficult sometimes not to be and to have it kick over into cynicism, because you're trying like hell, and yet you're getting the stuffing kicked out of you.
Yeah, well, what's the alternative? You know, you could give up, and that's far more productive, I guess. But I don't think so. I think I'd rather, as Kason said, I think that's kind of what all Bardians have in common. You know, they have an itch to do better, to make the world a better place.
All right, let me talk to your fellow Bardian. I all these years working with Bard, I've never heard Bardian before. That's very cool. All right, Alex, here's the deal with you. I don't have any information, so I don't know. Tell me what you're a student in, where you are, what year, what your program you're in.
Yeah, sure. So I'm a recently graduated student from Bard, so I'm an alum. And at the Hannah Arendt Center, I'm an associate, and I work on building the Hannah Arendt Center alumni network together with Roger and other people that are alumni of Bard College. In addition to that, I was also asked to help out with putting together a music program for the conference, and so that's what I'm working on. Yesterday and today.
Now, I've heard the music and both the beginning and through some of our breaks. It's absolutely beautiful. So why do you think that's an important element to have within the conference?
Well, you see, music is a language that's understood by everybody, and considering the topic of the conference, there is probably nothing more appropriate than music. And if you were able to hear some of it in the hall, it is, you know, when music is played, let's say there was a piece for piano and violin by Edvard Grieg. No matter what your political opinion is or what your background is, when two people hear this, they can agree that it is beautiful. And so there is that component of music as being a language that connects everybody. But there was also an aesthetical component as well. This morning, for example, as people were coming inside of the hall for the conference and they were joining in, music was playing, and it was almost as if the music was luring people in with its beauty, to discuss, joy in dark times. And I thought that that was very beautiful. It almost symbolized a sort of bell calling people inside of the church for mass, or even a school bell calling people inside for class. So this was very interesting. I thought it was a wonderful concept, and we put it together in a very short time, so that was great. And, I hope that it becomes a tradition for the Hannah Arendt Center Conference, and that this is repeated throughout the years, regardless of whether the topic is joy or something else. I think music is something great to have, and I hope that it happens again.
Yes, please clap for that. That's wonderful. What do you hope to do with that now? Next, after now that you have graduated, you continue to be here, and then what do you hope to do after that?
Well, I currently work at the Hudson Institute at the Center for Strategy and American Statecraft. So I work in a think tank in Washington, D.C. That's my full-time job. And for the Hannah Arendt Center, I just do some work where I try to build the alumni network. So that's something that Roger and I had talked about this past summer, and that's something that we're going to try to do so that we can create a vibrant community of alumni that come together, not just to continue the conversation, which is the most important thing for us, on topics that Hannah Arendt was concerned about and on topics that are very important for today, but also to get people together and to share job and writing opportunities with one another, and also to get them more and more engaged with the college, even as they proceed with their lives after Bard.
Well, that's wonderful. And so I just have to check. We have a moment or two. But think tank in Washington. So what's that?
It's a great job. I made a joke. My parents were asking me, so what is this? What is a think tank? And I said it's a great job because whenever I get lazy, I get to just sit. And if somebody asks me, hey, why are you doing anything? Why are you being lazy? I just say I'm thinking.
It's a great answer. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. All right. Well, you've been amazing all to talk to, and I thank you so much for being with us and for being a part of our program. We're just about out of time. Did anybody have any final thought that they would like to share with the group before we leave? Okay, good. Me either. Brandon, Kason, Monica, Malia, Charles, Alex, you are all wonderful. Thank you so much, and best of luck in all that you do. And thank you so much for being with us in this very special broadcast. This marks the end of our WAMC On the Road broadcast from the Hannah Arendt Center's Joy, Loving the World in Dark Times at Bard College. I want to thank all of our guests and everyone at Bard and the Hannah Arendt Center for being such a gracious host. Thanks to Empire Audio and Live Sound Incorporated. Also, thanks to the WAMC On the Road crew. Thanks so much to Mike Bowen back in Master Control in Albany, and to our producer, Sarah LaDuke, or associate producer, Madeline Reynolds. We are out of time. Thank you very much to the audience. You are all wonderful. Special thanks to Roger Berkowitz, Leanne Botstein, Malia Dumont for making all of this possible. We love you. We'll be back on Monday. Thanks so much. Have a beautiful weekend.